text from my wife, boys. Because over in the UK, right, we pay an amount each month towards our electricity bill, and then they do a calculation at the end of the year and work out how much we actually owed. And if there's any left over, they send it back. Yeah. And I generally have always owed them just a little bit. But since I moved out of the house and moved up to the studio and took all the electronics out and started putting them here, I never changed the amount. So the wife just sent me a text saying, the electricity people have written to us. Tomorrow they're going to put 524 quid in your account.
Wow.
And they've also,
Ewan,
they've also halved your monthly payments.
Doesn't that pretty much cover a Canon migraine?
That's not far off. Yeah, no, I'm not going to get that.
Sorry, Sharon, if you're listening.
No, she doesn't listen to this shit, Jesus. No, what it means is I'm going to have to get it delivered straight to the office. So, therefore, I cannot buy it from Amazon. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the big stories in tech, all the things that have gone on, all the big happenings, and I've got an awesome panel. We've had two full houses tonight for Max Show and for Big Show, and they are just the best, absolute best panelists that we've got around. We've got a great bunch of people that chip in with BTN. But tonight, none better than, starting us off, Big Chris Ashley.
What up?
Our diaries didn't align the other week when we changed the thing at short notice, dude. I do apologize.
No, it's okay. I had a little something come up at the same time, so just a mess, but I made my wife get off work early so I could make sure I made it here today, because I miss my folks, miss my peoples.
It happens. We can live with it. Don't worry, mate. There was only a couple of us, but we managed to get drunk and go on too long. That's normal.
So normal show.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Next to him, Jeff Wright.
Hey.
Now, you'll be pleased to know that I have been working diligently on your behalf this week.
Oh, do tell.
So you said that last week you wanted a 3D printer.
Yes.
After I described how well I've been getting on with mine. So I've spent this week looking for sex toys that you can print.
You're the best ever.
Because I figured that would push it over the edge.
Yeah. I'm about to spend money, aren't I?
Do you know what I found?
I bet you found some of the most crazy.
No, I found nothing.
What? Seriously?
There's not even anything that you can just push in. It's just, it's...
kind of fuck that, huh?
There's nothing out there, man.
I mean, that means Jeff now has to spend the money. There's a market for it.
Yeah, there's a gap in the market.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
There's a gap in the market.
Now, that said...
gap in the market that just needs filling.
Well, Ewan, yeah. I just did a Google search for 3D printed sex toys.
Okay, but I promise you, you're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah, I know, but I just want to point out the first thing that I found was a link that tells you how to take care of your sex toys.
Yes. Now, the problem that you've got is that the print bed is only 200 millimeters by 200 millimeters by 180.
So
there's not a lot that's satisfying in those dimensions anymore.
Oh, you could do butt plugs with that.
As my wife will attest. Oh, no.
Size matters.
Well, the only thing I did find a butt plug.
Okay, see? There you go.
Yeah. There we go. I didn't print it and I haven't tested it, but...
I'm looking forward to your review.
It's on my to-do list.
Oh, sure.
How are you, by the way?
I'm doing good.
Excellent, mate.
As I recall, the last time I was on, it was snowing outside. Today, it is 82 Fahrenheit.
And it'll be snowing again next week, because it's what it's like this time of year, I think.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Patrice, I only saw you a couple of minutes ago, but how's Koblenz?
Koblenz is perfect. Perfect weather today. Really great. And we had a day off.
Make sure you get the window open by 10 o'clock so we can hear the church clock chiming. We will stop for that very reason.
Okay, I will try to remember.
And righty boy, I hope you've got a note, mate, from your mum. Where were you last week, eh?
Well, it was my daughter's 13th birthday, so...
That's a feeble excuse.
Oh, really? Oh, gosh. I don't think the wife would agree, but yeah. we had a house full of screaming teenagers, and I'm still recovering. But I miss this a lot.
Good, mate. You can be with your mates. See, mates down the pub.
Yep.
You got to go out with your mates, otherwise you go mental.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And talking of mental, camps. See what I did there? See that segue?
Yeah. Perfect link. Yeah, I'm good. I'm really good.
Can you do camera down a little bit, mate?
Will do. I'll just sit up straight, shall I?
No, just camera down's fine.
Yeah, no, I'm really good.
Unless you're worried about it showing your belly or something.
This camera's not wide enough for that.
The week in tech, what's going on, what's been happening, what's massive, we've done all the massive stories in Apple, but in the Mac show, but there's so much happened. Who's got the first story? Who's going to start us off? Has someone already put something in and I've missed it?
Jeff has.
Jeffrey,
all right, who
first.
Was fastest?
Jeffrey!
Ooh!
Jeff, right, that's the first time. That proves that Jeffrey has the fastest fingers in the West.
Ladies.
Moving on.
All right. So my story is kind of cool and also kind of creepy. Google has a patent that it's for artificial lenses that go into your eye. So your eye would get sliced open as if you were getting new lenses for cataract surgery.
Right.
And then they would pop this this computerized lens in instead of a regular lens. Uh-huh. And now you have these lenses in your eyes that autofocus. And they could conceivably focus at the microscopic scale as well as the telescopic scale. Mm. So you would never need glasses. You wouldn't need to have binoculars or a telescope. And if you needed to look at things really, really close, you could do that too. But of course, there's the other side of it because it's Google. So the lenses would also be transmitting data out. So you could take photographs with your eyes, capture videos with your eyes. And if they are not secured properly, then the data coming from your eye lenses could be intercepted and used to track you or for people to freak out at the things you're actually looking at.
The big question is for Google, can it show ads?
No,
oh my God, that would be the worst.
No. The big question for Google is, can it get it out of beta?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because the next thing you want is your wife seeing your printout of what you were looking at and catch you looking at some nice little buttocks on the beach or something like that. You can't even hide them behind sunglasses anymore. You're going to be snitching on yourself.
You are screwed.
Boys, yeah. I mean, the one thing that you never subscribe to is anything that Google releases on a subscription model. And you're never going to take these because it's like, when did you go blind? When Google stopped supporting my lenses.
Yeah.
It didn't take off, so now you're blind.
They're going to surgically implant something that they can't get out of beta. Give it a rest.
That would so, so suck. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's the scary part. The cool part, though, can you imagine not ever needing to wear glasses again? I mean, as someone
laser eye surgery. Yeah.
Not everyone can do that. Like I can't do the laser surgery. So
there's lots of different types now, though.
It doesn't matter.
It's not just the myopia stuff, is it?
Yeah, but for me, I am not a candidate for any laser surgery for my eyes.
Is that because you're a big girl's blouse, or is?
Well, you know. So no, actually, it's because I have this condition. It's called deep drusen. So my optic nerves are crystallizing, and no, I'm not going to go blind. But if you look it up online, it'll say one of the side effects is blindness. But no, I'm not going to go blind. But because of the way the crystals grow, it puts pressure on my eyes in such a way that it continually distorts the lenses.
Mm.
Which means if I get laser surgery, within a few months or a couple of years, my eyes will be right back to where they are now.
So does that mean you get more valuable then because they're crystallizing?
I certainly hope so. I'm going to sell myself to science.
Jeff, the man.
Jeff has there's diamonds in his eyes.
Jeff with the man with the diamond eyes. I was just about to say, Jeff, yeah. Garrett, the man with the diamond eyes.
Yeah.
It's a Bond film.
It's totally, yeah. And, but the cool thing about lenses like this that Google has patented, since they're also little computers, as my eyes change, the lenses can automatically adjust themselves. So you never need to worry about a prescription or additional laser surgery or anything. It's just done. So on one hand, this is a really cool thing. But on the other hand, it's Google wanting to put computers inside my eyeballs. And that's kind of freaky. And
you know, I think my view on this sort of thing, Jeff, is somebody who's not going to go blind, but will probably always have a requirement for glasses. Would you be prepared ever to take a gamble like that? So
because you're going to lose your existing
wear glasses.
Yeah. Oh, this is definitely
really, really invasive surgery done by Google.
It's a very compelling idea, especially for someone like me who if I take my glasses off and the distance that I am from my display right now is probably about 18 inches. If I take my glasses off, I really can't see the screen anymore. It just blurs out, and that's that. So I can't function except for very close up without my glasses. And that means that from the moment I get up in the morning to the moment that I go to bed at night, I have to have glasses on or I just can't see to do anything.
Mm. I wear glasses for concentration work. So it's when I'm in front of a screen, when I've picked up a book.
That, why are you wearing them for this show then?
Say again.
Ooh. Why are you wearing them for this show then?
Occasionally I do look in the chat room. But I think for me, if I was going to go blind, then I would probably gamble. It's almost like what's to lose. But in a scenario where I'm never going to go blind, I think having a lens like this inserted into the eyeball itself is probably going to... There's a 50-50 chance it's either going to work or it's not. And if it's not going to work, I am blind. And therefore, glasses... it's a gamble I don't think I'd be prepared to take.
For me, it would depend on the other risks that are involved in this. I mean, I don't know, dying... It's a surgery, so who knows? So that would also be...
Most people don't die during cataract surgery anymore.
Yeah, it's sure.
It's a local anesthetic, dude.
I know.
Yeah, well, for cataract surgery, which my dad had a couple years ago, he went in, they did one eye, and then like 3 weeks later did the other eye.
That's right, yeah.
And when they did his eyes, they pulled out his own lenses, and the lenses they put back in... were corrected vision.
Yeah, that's right.
So mm-hmm. My dad has been legally blind since he was a kid, but you know, with glasses he can see fine. So for the first time in almost his entire life, he can function totally normally without having to wear glasses at all. It's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. My dad still has to wear. He had the same thing, but he has to wear his for reading. That's all. So.
Hmm. Yeah, but still, I mean, being able to go from having to wear glasses simply to function, going from your bed to the bathroom in the morning to just you get up and you do your thing. And that's that. That's for people that have had to wear glasses their whole life and need them just to function. This is kind of an exciting idea. But on the other hand, I do not want to be a beta tester for Google's computer eyelids.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't trust them so much that I they have cool things that they do, but so when I hear stuff like this, I just wish it was another company. Then I'd be like, I could be more excited about it.
Deep Pan has found us a butt plug that you can print on your 3D. Thank you very much, Deep Pan. It's very kind. You do know you're supposed to shave those bits off though, because that's going to chafe a bit, man.
Good point.
Those are misprints. It's only the round bits that go in. There we go.
But Ewan, who are we to judge?
Well, I just feel like someone might click on that in the chat room chatbot thing and I had a duty of care.
Click's an optimal word if they use that.
Click, click.
Yeah. And also, you start at the small end.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Good point.
Yeah, good point.
This way up.
I'd miss that bit. I know I got a story in my head there that I can't get out now, and it's stopping me from talking normally. Camp's Instagram 10-year-old receives 10,000 reward for finding the Instagram bug.
Yeah, so this is all about Facebook and their bug bounty reward. So they basically got a program where they almost invite people to find bugs, whether it be on Facebook, Messenger, Instagram, and a 10-year-old has received a $10,000 bounty reward from Facebook after finding a vulnerability in Instagram's code. What he's gone and done is found a vulnerability in the code where he has been able to go in and delete other Instagram users' updates and comments. I think it's great that he's gone in, he's found the bug and he's got the reward for it. I think what I took from this story was, I think it's great that Facebook have got, whether the amount of money they're paying is right, but I think it's great that they've got this program out there and rewarding people for essentially probably what will it be, white hat hacking in terms of securing their platforms. And the interesting thing about the 10-year-old is he self-taught everything from YouTube videos and things like that. So we talked a number of weeks ago about certainly national curriculum in UK schools and IT is things like Excel and coding should be important. This is a 10-year-old lad who enjoys this sort of thing, went on YouTube, learned some white hacking stuff, and he's been rewarded with a $10,000 bounty for finding this vulnerability.
But what on earth are they paying their own coders not to see this? That's the ridiculous thing. Ten grand seems a lot to a 10-year-old, but the fact that their own coders don't see this, that's crazy.
Yeah, but that is something, if you are too deep in a code, too deep in a project, you don't see certain things. That's just how
At least that's your excuse, Patricia.
No, that's literally why you need people from the outside that look at stuff like that, because you are too deep and you see this stuff all day and you just don't realize it anymore.
Yeah.
Not if you're Facebook, though.
Even for Facebook, it doesn't matter.
I think, Paul, part of the issue there is, yeah, you've got your codes who you're developing, but then surely Facebook have got pen testers who are trying to find the vulnerabilities in the code. So, okay, the devs might miss it because, like Patrice says, they're ingrading the code. But sure, what are the pen testers? What are the IT security and the cyber security guys at Facebook?
Those guys, to be
fair, the article doesn't say how complex the bug was to navigate.
No, it doesn't.
And there is a certain amount of precocious little shit in this.
it's just impossible to come up with every single scenario inside of a small dev office. That's why more companies should definitely embrace getting code early out into the hands of customers and whoever their customers are, especially if they're consumers, because I work in the software industry. And you'd be surprised. You just playing around with something. It's like, man, this is fantastic. And the moment you put it out there, and it's like, boom, 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 boom. Oh, we didn't see this. We didn't see this. We didn't see this. So it's just crazy. But it is an unfortunate part of the software.
It must be hard if you're creating something that you see as innately positive to look for something within it that's innately negative and would stop it from flourishing.
So that's why you do the separation of duties. You keep that job to the ornery people. So that those guys, who hate everything, they're the ones who actually do the testing.
You've got your devs. They're creative. They get it on their testing platforms, and then you've got your cyber and your IT security guys and your pen testers, and they go in and try and find exploits.
They beat it up, and then you come in and say, "Well, dev, your pie in the sky idea was crazy," and then you say, "Testers, you guys are just being curmudgeons." You know what I mean? You play referee after that. So you had a good team by having those two guys really separate what they do.
Serenak in the chat room is saying that his brother had cataract surgery in his 40s, but because he was in his 40s, he wasn't eligible for corrective inserted lenses. I guess that's because his presbyopia is still in progress at 40. I know that presbyopia starts from sort of 15, 16 onwards. And the way my old optician explained it to me was, you can see at the tip of your nose when you're 9, but then it starts to increase and goes outwards, and you don't really notice it until it gets beyond where you would normally hold things, like the length of your arm. But it's constantly degrading from 15 onwards outwards. So I guess at 40, and I noticed 40 was where my vision really started to decay quite rapidly. So I'm guessing that's why you didn't get corrective lenses at 40, because it'd just be a waste of time because they're constantly decaying. Whereas my father at 80, it's like you're pretty sure what he's going to put in there is going to be what's there when, when he doesn't need them anymore. Excuse me. I can't see any. I mean, this program from Facebook is open to everyone. If you find a Facebook bug, you can submit that bug request, and they will pay you. Get looking, people.
Absolutely. And get your kids looking as well. Get your kids learning code, and then trying to earn you some bennies.
That may be the hard.
Oh yes.
And sometimes it's a just a matter of thinking them. Differently, and I mean. Being lucky. I mean, that's what pen testers really do. They think about how did the developer think, and what could I do to exploit that? What could a user do to, how could a user think differently about things that could mess up what the developer thought was the right way to do it? So yeah, get kids in, get whoever you have or want.
There we go.
Get it in.
Righty. Your story. You put Adblock wants to help you pay the sites you visit most.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of us block ads now, and some of us here, you know, make money out of ads, and you know, it's kind of that thing, we block ads because they're annoying or they're intrusive and all those sort of things. And one of the most popular ad blocking things is Adblock Plus, which has a browser extension. But they're saying that they want to be a bit fairer to content creators who you visit more regularly. So they've teamed up with a company called Flatter. I think they've invested some money in them. And they're saying that with a browser extension, they would kind of analyze your web traffic and see the people that you visit most or most regularly. Because a lot of people don't want to pay behind paywalls and that sort of stuff just to look at one article and those sort of things. And they're saying, like, oh, okay, we'll look at your traffic, we'll see you visit the most, and then we'll give you the option to donate money to the people that you visit the most. And you can, as a user, then choose how much money that you want to donate every month. And I thought, well, it's interesting that an ad block plugin is now saying, okay, we're going to look at a way of giving you ways to give people money. But in the way that adverts are getting more annoying, I didn't know if it was a decent way of...
This is the cancer of the 2010s.
Mm.
It is no question. I mean, the number of people that now add a layer within a business that is completely unnecessary and adds nothing to the value of something that's there and only seeks to extort money for itself is the cancer of the 2010s, no question. And the ad blockers were all great. Everyone went, oh, fantastic ad blocker, bang, done. And then all the ad blockers are now going, but give us money. And everyone's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and they've all got their own programs to let some of the more premium ones through as well. So they're not actually doing anything in the interest of users anymore as well. So like you say, you know, it's almost a cancer on that, you know, adverts were annoying, but they're now taking advantage of that. So it's gone one step further.
The middle market man is an absolute cancer. I don't use that word lightly. It really is. Bless you, Jeffrey.
Bless you.
Oh, thank you.
You allergy should have said season. It's untight.
Yeah. Could have said that.
You should have. Anyone got anything positive to say about ad blockers?
Nothing. Sometimes they are necessary. Some sites, have abusive ads, and sometimes they are necessary. Simple as that. They evolve for a reason, and they are popular for a reason.
I understand. It's frustrating for me. I use ad blockers as well. But I know, like, there's a setting where it says just block the obtrusive ads, you know, let the other ones come through. And I don't mind that, because I don't mind when they're on the side and, or not. But, you know, there's nothing worse than going to a web page and having the entire web page disappear so they can show you some ad that you can't get rid of for 30 seconds. It's just rough. Mm. And I think if, you know, it's not the problem is not the folks blocking the ads. These guys aren't figuring out creative ways to get these ads in there. They're just, boom, here they are. Take a look. And, you know, but I also understand because I'm a content creator. Most of us on here are content creators. And, you know, you want to use ads to pay the bills. So people are blocking them and cutting it in your pocket. So I get both sides of it. But these guys need to be more innovative with the way these ads are being presented as opposed to just forcing you to disrupt. Because I've clicked a link that somebody sent me, ads come up, I can't get to the content, I just kill it. I don't even care about the content anymore.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Totally with you. I think the other thing, I mean, there's quite a few YouTube adverts for local UK firms, particularly supermarkets. Tesco did a little run of them a little while ago on culinary stuff. And they were really well done ads. And they were all, if you don't want this, 5 seconds, sod off, clicks. And the first time I watched them, I didn't skip any of them.
And sometimes they are 2-3-4 minute ads.
And they're good.
Really great ads.
Yeah, and I want to watch them. And I don't, but providing they've got that little button that says after 5 seconds, okay, tell me to piss off, it's fine, I don't mind. Or the ones that go, we've got the whole advert, here it is in 5 seconds, do this. Purple bricks, see ya. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Well done. Well done. That's exactly what it should be. Work within the restraints or the constraints of what you've got. But the ones that go, right, there's an ad for 30 seconds and it starts off and it's like a heartbeat or it's some drawn out dramatic music. You're like, oh my God, here's someone who thinks they're frigging Macbeth.
And then you've already got your mouse pointer over the where the skip ad.
But you don't get skip ad because they're giving you 30 seconds of this shit.
I've had some
a minute and a
half.
And
then I close the window. I'm just gone.
I want to watch a 30-second clip and you want a minute and a half. Sky is terrible for that, for news reports. And the thing is, I've worked out that if I sign into Sky, I don't get any of those ads. But if I don't sign into Sky, I get those ads. But some of the ads are horrific. It's a 30-second clip of something that someone said in a press conference. And it's a minute and a half. I haven't got a clue what they said. I really have no interest. What they said does not give me the interest to watch 90 seconds of the shit.
I think this is where the creators and the PR companies really have to start earning their money. They've got to get the hook in the first sort of 3 to 5 seconds. Because if they do that, you don't mind having the 5-second skip ad in there. Because if your ad's good enough, people will stay. I think it's where shortcuts have been taken or the creators are just poor. I think then the advertisers behind it probably need to leave it on there for 30 seconds because otherwise people are just going to skip, move on, or just shut the page.
Yeah.
But would you go, with what AdBlock's saying, would you go for a model where you want to block all ads but you want to donate a percentage of some money to the publishers who you visit the most? Because that's what they're saying with this. And I think that's a fair model. I don't know if AdBlock Plus is the best people to do it.
I dislike the drug sale elements of their sales model, though. It's like, here's something for free. Now you've got used to it and you love it. Sorry, pay us. No. You should have released it and said, look, here's what we're going to give you. It's £2, or it's £2 a month, or whatever it is, but we will guarantee to block all ads for the future. Okay, that's fine. I'll take that. That's good. I don't, you know, I'm not locked into this idea of I want something for nothing, which a lot of people on the internet are. Unless it's for nothing, it's not anything. And then they get upset when this kind of thing happens. But I can't stand that. You know, I talked about the baseball game the other week on the Mac show that I bought. And it's good, but there's certain times when all of a sudden you've got, you know, you play one type of game and you've got relief pitchers galore. And then you play another type of game and all it wants to do is sap your energy bars because they don't give you any relief pitches. And when your last energy bar's gone, it says, oh, here's some relief pitches we found in the bullpen. And you're like, well, they were there all along. What the hell are you doing? You're just trying to take away things that I can pay you money for. That's not okay.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of applications doing that at the moment.
Mm. But the other problem you have at the moment is now if you're running an ad blocker and you go to a lot of sites now, they will now put up a banner saying you're running an ad blocker. And if you want to look at our content, you need to turn it off.
The funny thing is, if you're a developer, that doesn't stop you. So easy to remove.
Yeah. Yeah, good story, man. I really struggle with the pay models at the moment because there's nothing up front anymore, and I understand it, but I dislike it. It's a tough one to rationalise my own brain. Patrice, you've put down that Planet Nine has...
Yeah, about something about Planet Nine. I was struggling to find a really tech story, so I picked something, I would say, more on the space side. There's a mysterious ninth planet orbiting, or we think it is orbiting, our solar system. It was recently discovered because of the, gravitational evidence that scientists discovered, that there must be something, some gravitational object there, because, I don't know, certain things are behaving differently. I don't know how they came up with this.
Well, so I was talking to Ellie the other day, and the only reason that they discovered Pluto was because they were tracking Neptune, and they noticed that it wasn't going where it should if it was on a free orbit. It was being attracted by something else. And they worked out from the calculations where to look, and lo and behold, when they pointed the telescopes there, bang.
Sure enough, there's Pluto.
Exactly.
This is one of those moments.
I'm guessing the same thing happened here, with the difference that we haven't seen it yet because it is so far out. It's still part of our solar system, but it's so far out that I think it's about 10 times farther away from the sun than Pluto was or something.
Yeah.
So it's so far out that we haven't been able to see it yet.
But also very elliptical orbit. So at some point, a long time from now, it will be a lot closer, but only for a while.
Earth is 93 million miles away, but they reckon this planet could be between 40 billion and 140 billion miles away.
Wow. Yeah.
From the sun.
That's a long way out there.
Exactly. But it's really interesting. I mean, we thought we knew almost everything about our solar system, and then we discovered we didn't. And so it will be really interesting to see whether we will find this planet, whether it really exists, or, I mean, it's still a theory right now. There could be something else going on that we haven't discovered yet that explains whatever we think we're seeing right now.
I love the fact that you can go on a Saturday and you argue over a parking space down at B&Q or Costco or something.
Yes.
And there's a planet that's 10 times further, 140 billion miles away, 10 times further than Pluto. And you're like, and you're worried about a parking space outside the shops. You know, for Christ's sake.
Exactly.
We are insignificant.
Yeah, we definitely are.
Well, other people are.
No. I did a thing with Ellis, you know, where we had a 10-foot swimming pool in the garden. I've said this loads of times. And there's a blog on BTN about third coin from the swimming pool. And it was just like, if the sun was 10-foot wide, where would everything be and what size would it be? And I sat and worked it out. And it blew my mind, let alone the 7-year-old that was stood next to me. You know, that Pluto is actually, I'm in Birmingham, a 10-foot wide sun. Pluto is the size of my little fingernail, and it's in friggin' Luton.
Yeah.
And what's it doing there? Exactly, my point entirely. And you're talking about actually that Planet Nine, if it's, you know, if you forget about the Pluto's a planet or not, but, you know, Planet Nine is Christ knows what size, and according to that, it's nearly in the south of France.
Yeah, exactly.
If the sun is a 10-foot swimming pool in my back garden in Birmingham, that's just...
That's crazy.
Yeah, you know, the moon is three doors away and the size of my little fingernail. It's just, give over.
But what else is out there that we're still to find?
Let's not do aliens, for Christ's sake.
No,
aliens.
The problem we've got, I think we're always going to die. The human race will become extinct without having made contact with anyone else.
Yes.
No question, because it's just, if there is anything out there, it's too far away for a signal to ever get here by the time we've actually finished our existence and killed ourselves by our own volition. did you listen to, there was an episode of Radiolab a couple of weeks ago where they talked about a guy who, there was a chap on there who was talking about the biology of life and the spark that went that from bacteria through to like complex organisms. Yeah.
And how unlikely everything that happened on Earth really, really is. That that it shouldn't have happened and it still happened.
But it's never happened since. And it's since it happened, it's had 2 billion years to recur and it's never got close.
Yeah, and I think it took us we're guessing that it took us 2 billion years to, or it took 2 billion years for it even to happen on Earth. Hmm. This one time.
So
that episode was really great.
Is there life on other planets, on other solar systems in the universe? Almost certainly, but is there complex life? According to this guy, it's highly improbable that there's complex life. We are the only complex life in the universe, according to this bloke.
Could be,
in terms of probability.
Which is kind of sad when you think about it.
Yeah. Well, it is if you're arguing over space at Costco, there is nothing else out there in the entire frigging universe, and you're arguing over a space that's 6.5 foot wide by 10 foot long.
And I don't know who in the chat, I think Deepan or Saranac asked how parking is on Planet 9. And I'm guessing it's pretty great because there's lots of space.
But the commute's a real bitch.
It'll be full of frigging immigrants. They'll all want in.
And loud Americans, don't forget
the
loud
Germany
Americans.
Germany will take a few million, then shame the rest of Europe into having a few million more. Exactly. So here's a question. What do you want from space exploration? Because effectively, our solar system is so far away from anything else that we will never get there before anyone in that ship dies.
Not until we discover, not until we can bend space and time, which is possible. We know it is possible.
Not until we come up with something completely irrational and fictional.
No, it's not irrational or fictional. I mean, the question is, will we be able to do it? But that it is in theory possible, or it's actually happening.
That's why Patrice keeps the door on his left closed. He's got a space-time experiment going on in there.
No,
it totally makes sense.
It's pretty fictional.
Back in the 1600s, probably what we have technology-wise today was fictional. It definitely was fictional. So it's hard to say what we will be able to do or what not. We discover that we can do more than we thought. As I said, we know that it is possible. Our sun is doing it to a certain degree. Bigger suns are doing it even more. So it's just a matter of will we as a race be able to replicate it before we die out?
No,
probably not.
That's
no,
very unlikely. Yes, but
we're going to die.
Who knows?
We're like the spinsters of the universe. Swapman says in the chat room, Planet 9 will probably be discovered with a McDonald's, a Starbucks, and a Walmart's already there. And Patrice has worms. Oh, sorry, wormholes. Who has another story? Have we done everyone's story?
Yeah, I guess so.
Chris?
Wow.
Here you go. I got a cool story.
Oh, thank God. I didn't think we'd done your story, mate.
Oh,
no, gosh. No.
It's a story about TV that we can't get in the UK.
Well, do you guys get Hulu over there?
No.
No.
Nope.
No. Wow. But tell us more. Tell us what it's like on the other side of the world where the streets are paved with gold, Chris.
Rainbows and unicorns.
I don't subscribe to Hulu, but I love what they're doing here.
You're so rich you don't have to subscribe to Hulu. You just get your own TV shows made.
That's it.
Everyone in America does.
Yeah, it's awesome, Ewan.
See, you know, he backs me up, but I'm good with Netflix and basic television, and that's good enough for me, because anything else I'll buy. I've already done the math, and but Hulu is planning on offering their own TV service, and you know, I still have such a strong dislike for these cable packages. You know, me and DirecTV had it out over a year ago, and not that I hate them, it's just I hate how they charge for stuff and I hate how they bundle stuff. So anybody that's offering a TV service that's going to compete with the status quo, I'm all for. And it looks like they haven't announced the price yet, but the $40 range, they said, is not out of the realm of possibility. Jeez. Which is, you know, I'm being forced to pay $25 to the cable company just to send me the channels that I could normally would be able to get free over the air, but because I'm surrounded by so many mountains in this area, I can't get the over the air channels to come in. So I have to pay them for what used to be free. And that's $25. So, you know, with them just charging $40 for a bunch of channels, and, you know, they mentioned an online DVR service, man, I hope to see a whole bunch of these pop up, man. And, you know, just break this foolishness that is going on with the TV, with the cable companies right now. Do you guys have anything over there that's trying to do the same thing at least?
We've got we've got two main cable providers, if you like, in inverted commas. One is Virgin Media, which you can get from them via your phone line or via a cable network, if that's what you've actually got installed, which I have here. There's only certain areas that have got that. And then you've got satellite stuff, which is Sky, which is by far the most popular. And it's not cheap. I mean, I'm probably paying 75 quid, 80 quid a month. But I've got absolutely everything. That's all the movies, all the kids' channels, all the sports. There is nothing I can't have.
And do you watch all of that?
I do. We watch it a lot. I mean, I watch the sports. I love watching my IPL in the afternoons. And especially as well because the Sky Sports channels, you get Sky Go with it on two devices per box. And we've got two boxes. So we've got four devices. So I can watch. We watched over at the Curry House. We watched IPL on my phone. And then I have my iPad Pro up here, and typically about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll start the IPL and watch the IPL game while I sit and work. And I had it on all through the World Cup and all that kind of stuff. And I use the hell out of it, but I mean, we're paying £80, so that's $120, $130 a month for that. But it's a really good service for that amount. I get an awful lot to watch because I'm interested in it, so... But you don't get that much.
I've talked about this before, and I should mention it again. What I did was very simple. I said, I looked at how much I was paying a month, and I was paying DirecTV upwards to $120 to $150 a month. I went through a couple years where I would cancel the premium channels when I would only get the premium channels when the show that I wanted to watch was on, but inevitably you forget and leave it on. So I just started doing the math, man. I said, look, if I buy the shows that I can't get, if I just go with basic TV channels and I buy the shows that I really like, you know, I'll just buy them when they come out on digital, or, and a lot of these shows are now come out at the same day. You can just, you know, you can pay for the season ahead of time. It actually worked out to be cheaper for me to just buy the shows that I like and then consume the rest of the shows, however else I can consume them, whether it be Netflix or
same for me.
Yep. And it worked out to be significantly cheaper. And I just bought a TiVo, and that's it. Away I went, and it was so much cheaper for me. And then I ended up, you know, cutting a bunch of shows that I didn't, you know, that I really liked. You know, and if I had their paying for their, you know, their regular service, I probably would still watch them. But, you know, I'll catch up to them later. They'll show up on Netflix later. And, you know, the only thing that I really cheat on is the shows like Game of Thrones, where, you know, I really want to watch that when it comes out. Pretty much the rest of the shows, I watch them all on DVR anyway, so I can wait a little while before I watch them. But Game of Thrones, I actually, you know, that's the only show that I really cheat on and use other means to watch it.
Other means.
Other means.
Creative viewing opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, no, there's a lot in TV that, I love in TV, and my wife and I are big movie files as well, so we watch a lot of stuff, but I think the other thing is the global economy element that TV and content providers still have not got used to.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we've got Deadpool turning up on June 13th in the UK. And it's been out for 2 weeks in the US on Apple TV.
Yeah, I've already watched it twice from my couch.
Give over. That's not okay. That leads to people stealing it.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's 2 weeks for people in the US to rip it and get it on sites and people everywhere else in the world to drop it.
Well, the other day I looked at creative means to get 11/22/63 because I'd heard so much good stuff about it. Muller said it was great. I thought, well, yeah, okay, I'll get it. And I looked at the creative means for it. I thought, I wonder if it's available on iTunes. Lo and behold, there it is. It's $12.99. Okay, I'm not going to run the risk of, I mean, well done, because I'm not going to run the risk of law enforcement for $12.99. Sorry, $12.99. Here you go, yeah. Apple. And then after I've paid it, find out. No, you've only got the first four episodes because it's exclusive on Paramount or Fox.
Fox HD. It's just started on Sky in the last couple of weeks. I've just downloaded it today.
And you can't get it down only four because there's eight going on in the States. So they're a month ahead of us.
Yeah.
But we're still getting it weekly. And that's where Netflix makes an absolute killing. Because it does the right thing. Let's manufacture something. Let's push it out. Bang, there you go. You can have a weekend of binge watching House of Cards. You can have a binge weekend of Orange is the New Black or Murder, Making a Murderer or all that kind of stuff. And that's just global media hasn't got. That's what people want. Provide it or they will steal it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Of course they will.
Netflix now has realized or... probably for a while, but now they are doing it. They are trying to license the content worldwide. So it doesn't matter where you are. You should get the same content, which wasn't the case in the past. I mean, I think House of Cards even isn't available on Netflix in Germany because they had some deal with some network here. And yeah, that's that.
That's shit.
Wow. Because that's their own original content. I would
exactly,
assume that
but
at least their original show.
At the point they made the deal, there was no Netflix in Germany. So, yeah, what they made the wrong thing, but they made the wrong move.
Bad.
Yeah.
The thing is, how much live TV does everyone watch now?
I don't, I
don't.
Sporting events?
Sports.
Exactly.
Yeah. Only sports.
Yeah. Apart from and even that, not I even took that. A hit on. I just said, when I made the decision to go to TiVo, I pretty much made the decision that I'm only going to watch, the sporting events that I can catch. And if I can't catch it, then I don't care. I'll just go grab my Xbox and shoot some people.
Yeah. It's live TV is basically dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except for sports.
It was dead during the 70s. People just were tuned to watch it. I mean,
yes.
You look at Saturday summertime special. Saturday night TV was always like,
oh my word,
the big thing, and everyone stayed there and everyone watched it. But actually, you look back now, and it was the most horrific television available.
Yeah, but they did a great job of marketing it so that people felt like they were going to miss out if they didn't stay in and watch.
Oh, Saturday Night Live's been shit since Belushi died. I mean, it's
yeah.
The Aykroyd Belushi era was the only one that was really Chevy Chase. That was the best Saturday Night Live there was. And you can talk about Kirsten Wiig and all the other guys that have come since. And I'm sorry, but it's all it's not been even close in comparison.
No.
Even old What's His Feral things.
But the new generation just wasn't YouTube. No, I've got a 13-year-old daughter now, and it's YouTube everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the YouTube stars are big. You know, they're bigger than TV stars. You know, two of the YouTubers that my daughter watches, they've got Madame Tussauds, Waxworks. You know, they're that big now, and it's that much. I pay for YouTube Red now because she wants music. She wants YouTube without adverts, and she watches no real TV because that's where all the content is now. And I think this week YouTube rules. Sorry?
By paying it for her, is she paying it out of her pocket money or are you paying it? Because you're still fueling free TV.
I'm paying for it because the Google Music comes as part of that. So
does she see that charge is what I'm saying though, rightly?
True.
That's the point. Is that Ellis, the one thing I've instilled in Ellis is, if you want something, that's fine, but you buy it. You pay me out of your pocket money. You know, he's definitely getting to that stage now. Bryony doesn't get this, although she does get it a little bit, just for the equality of the two of them. But Ellis is there is a cost to life, mate, and you need to make that cost up. If you say you want this, you need to save up for it. You need to buy it with your own money. That's
true.
There's a valued lesson in that. That you're not doing them any favors if you don't do that. I think.
It starts tomorrow.
The big show has turned into the parenting podcast.
No, don't want to send in hate mail. Are you the bastard that made me dad take me pocket money?
No. I understand. Oh, I feel bad for you, Ewan. Those kids are going to come for you now.
It is. I've already got my son already hates me. I don't need that anymore. Good story, mate. Good story. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We love them. They're awesome. They've looked after us for 8 years now, near going on 9. We got brand new hardware last weekend. The server now just absolutely flies. It's unbelievably fast. We got brand new hardware. We got improved storage. We got more storage so that we can store more of the shows. The NQL channel runs seamlessly in the background. Thanks to Anders and Wrighty, to Wheaters and to Shad to kind of keep the server up and running and moving well. It's unbelievably good at the moment. We've never had such a good back end, if you know what I mean, since we started BTN, I don't think, than we've got at the moment. But
that's right, Ewan. You have a fine back end.
Thanks, man. If you want to support BTN, if you love BTN, then please support UK2 because they have kept us away from huge bills for hosting. The server that we've got would have cost us £400 a month, and they make sure that we don't pick that up. And the other people are Hoya. Hoya look after us. Please support Hoya. I am wearing my Avantec glasses this evening. There we go, as I always do, which are made for me by her and reviewed by me. But also, Mark turned up last week and handed over a Mac Mini, and we are £10 short of the third Mac Mini.
Wow.
There you go. That's the awesome diligence of BTN fans. Please give us a little bit towards it at bageltechnews@gmail.com on PayPal, and you could help us get our 5 Mac Minis. And thanks to those people that have given us sizable donations. There's a few that have given us £100 this last few weeks, and it's made a massive difference. So please keep supporting us. And also, if you just want to give us a couple of quid a month, because you know that's a bit too extravagant for your taste, that's fine. $2. $3, $4, $5 a month. Go to patreon.com/British Tech Network and you can give us a couple of dollars a month just to say thanks very much for doing the shows, chaps. And away you go. Please support Hoya because they support us. See? podcast@hoya.co.uk is the email to send to, and Mark will put you in touch. And I've had a couple of emails this week too, actually, that have said, oh, I'm in North America. Do Hoya cover us? Hoya is a global organization, and they do things like you wouldn't believe. Every person in the world probably touches a Hoya product 6 or 7 times in a day without even realizing that Hoya are making it. There is definitely a glasses provider where you are. If you send the email in to Mark, Mark will source whoever that person is, and Mark will contact them direct, and you will get put in touch with the person that will do you a good deal at the other end because you're a BTN listener. So it doesn't matter where you are in the world, send us that email to podcast@hoya.co.uk and you'll get some support from Mark. Right. Cool things. Big Chris, what have you got for us, mate?
So I decided that I was going to do something that I pretty much said I would never do.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing that kids make you do this. But I actually gave up my awesome TV room / gaming room to my daughter so that I bought another Xbox and put it in my office. So I'm now gaming in my office, and I'm giving her the TV room. She's just, you know, got toys and videos all over the place. Plus, I kind of introduced her to gaming a little bit. You know, I found this little cool little game that she played, and she asked me every day, can I play? Can I play? And I keep telling her, no, I'm busy. I'm gaming myself. Go get your tablet. So, and one of the things also that inspired this was the fact that over the Christmas holidays, I went to my mom's house, and my brother brought his Xbox, so I was gaming there, and I noticed I was much more accurate on a smaller TV than I was on my 55-inch TV. So I tested it when I got home, and for 2 months, I was just such a better gamer. So I bought a monitor for my office to go along with putting an Xbox in here, and the Samsung came out with what's called the CF-591. It's a 27-inch monitor. Of course, it's a it's a PC monitor, but it also, but one of the things they tout in that particular monitor is the fact that you can use it for gaming as well. Now, one of the interesting things of it is that one of those curved monitors, and I've never used a curved monitor before, but I don't know if it's a placebo effect or whatever, but I actually feel like it's better for gaming. And I feel like I can take in more of the screen and what's going on with this monitor. But aside from that, you know, foolishness, it's a beautiful looking monitor. It's not very expensive at all. And it supports HDMI input. It supports regular standard VGA inputs. And it also supports mini, what's that stupid thing called?
Mini DisplayPort.
Mini DisplayPort. Thank you very much. So it's just a solid monitor, and it has a single button in the back. You can switch. So I do have a PC that I'm working on, so I plug it into it as well. When I'm fixing that PC up, I just switch displays. It has built-in stereo speakers. Unfortunately, the volume control is not buttons on the monitor, but you can, you know, go into the menu and control the volume if you want. But all around, a solid monitor. So, you know, if you're looking for, if you game on a smaller monitor and you're looking for a solid one, check out this new Samsung C27 F91.
Excellent, good pick. Thank you very much, Jeffrey. What do you have for us?
I was writing down that monitor because I need to go check it out. Thanks a lot. Okay. What I have is going to cost you a lot less, but it's equally cool. I have a T-shirt for everyone today, and this T-shirt, it's the classic Lego space program logo, but it's done with the Death Star and the Millennium Falcon, and it just looks fracking awesome. So the price in the U.S. is $15. Excuse me, and with shipping, it cost me $18. Mine will be here in a couple days, and it's just the coolest looking T-shirt ever.
It's a good T-shirt.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they do a hoodie as well.
And they do a hoodie.
Yeah, with it on the back. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$15, not bad.
Oh, and Chris, thanks for putting a link in for the monitor so that I don't have to try and read my screwed up handwriting.
Yeah.
I got you. And I could send you the US link for Amazon as well if you need it. But you can
probably just fixed.
That's stucco.uk, I just realized, yeah. Thanks, Chris, for taking the time to salvage just Brits. Patrice, what do you have for us, mate?
I have another podcast, and yes, I could have picked Adam's show, the MacCast, but I decided to stick with my space theme today. It's a show called Lift Off at Relay FM. I think it's Jason Snell and Stephen Hackett, and every two weeks, every fortnight, like they call it, they just talk about space related stuff in a way that, I mean, someone who has not the scientific knowledge about everything, how space works, astronomy, all of that, can still understand what it is about and why it's exciting. And they talk, I mean, they have had shows about the space program in the US in the 60s, 70s and so on, and about Planet Nine and about Pluto and all of that. So it's a really great show. Enjoy it, really looking forward to the next episode. So that is my pick.
Excellent, mate. Like that a lot. I'm into me space. I'm the same as you. I haven't got massive technical knowledge, but I get by.
Exactly.
I'll have a look for that. Righty boy.
Oh, mate, this is properly awesome. I'll just put it in the chat room. It's a video editor that's been developed by some kind of proper sci-fi nerds. It's called Hit Film 4 Express, and it's totally free. And it's a proper video editor. So it's just a general video editor. It's really, really good. But they've created a load of project files and stuff. And you can do you can film yourself and then do heads up display from Iron Man. You can do all the lightsaber stuff. You can do portal stuff and all those sort of things. It's been doing the rounds on the press this week. And I downloaded it tonight and I put it on my Mac. And it is the best video editor I've ever found. You know, just you fill your face and you can face track the Iron Man like HUD onto your face. It's just the best thing in the world, and I've never seen anything like this as free that's actually this good. But just the general video editor, amazing.
This is really cool.
But yeah. You've got to share.
I did a couple of tests tonight, and I tracked my face and put the HUD over my face, and it is just me and my daughter playing with it. It's just amazing. They've got some bits in there. Once you get it, it's free, and then you can buy extra bits that make it even better. But the lightsaber, the portal thing, and the Iron Man thing, the project files are free, and it's just really worth playing with. Really good fun, and just really great guys.
Really great.
Cool.
Brilliant. I'm sitting downloading. Sorry. That's why I'm not paying attention.
But you can make some really great stuff with this.
I hate this this show.
Ewan, I want to point out that I only cost you $18 this week.
Yeah. And Rotties is free to start. It's all right.
Yeah.
Chris has cost me $249.
I'm going to keep quiet.
Patrice is free. It's down to you, Camps.
I've got a freebie.
Hey.
So last week, Ewan, you chose the Nanny Cam. And I was kind of thinking, I quite like one of them. Do I really need one? Not so sure. And then listening to Adam on Maccast over the weekend, and he was talking a little bit about recycling some of your Apple products. And so I thought, a couple of iPhones in the drawer, what can I do with them? So I found Presence. So Presence is it's a free app available on iOS, Android, and you can use it on the web as well. And you can install it. I've got my day-to-day iPhone. I've got an iPhone 4 that I had in a drawer. Put the app on both. You can have essentially one as the security camera, if you like, and the other as the receiver. You just use the same account to link them up. And then basically I got the iPhone 4. I stood it up in a room, and then I can go around and essentially connect via the Presence app and use the old iPhone as a security camera. I can use the app to get alerts if it sees any movement in the room. So it kind of trying to replicate the Nanny Cam idea, but using some tech that I had in a drawer, and the free app does it for me. So it's fairly limited sort of bandwidth type space in terms of how much video you can upload on the free version. There are some in-app purchases if you want to increase the storage that you get back on Presence service. They've got some fairly good T's and C's on there. But yeah, I thought free app. I've already got the hardware sat in the drawer. I'm going to give it a little go, and it works, and it works pretty well, to be honest.
That's awesome.
That's very slick.
I've got an iPad mini laying around that would do just
give it a go. I found out that I'm going to have a play, and I've left it set up, so my wife now thinks I'm probably spying on her during the day, but it works. It works really well, and the hardware was already in the drawer.
Very good.
Yeah.
My cool thing is my 3D printer. I know you're going to get sick of this over the next few months. Don't worry about it. But I do love it so, so much. And I hated it not long ago because I couldn't crack it. I wasn't getting stuff to stick down and that kind of stuff. And I've hit this formula now where it absolutely works. It sticks like shit to fur on the bed, and it works a treat. And I've made Muller this week. He's got a Mophie juice pack, same as me, and it's a little bedside stand. And what was kind of cool was the lady that comes in and cleans the office for me every Monday, she walked in and saw this thing on the desk, and she thought to herself, no, he hasn't printed that, it's too good. And it really is that good. It's absolutely beautiful. It took 9 hours to print, so you just leave it running overnight, and that's that. But it's absolutely brilliant. I love my printer, Wanhao printer from Amazon. There's a pile of them. They're based on the iPrusa printer system, and if you buy one and you're struggling, give me a shout and I'll tell you the settings that I use, because my stuff, it works now. I've got it with PLA anyway. I haven't got it with OBS, but I love my printer. Sorry. And I printed useful stuff. So I printed a phone holder. I've also printed legs for the Mac Minis to sit on. I've also got a new condenser cardioid mic that needs an XLR in it, and it loops out and goes into my existing battery pack. So I've got two battery packs effectively to carry around. Mm-hmm. And I've designed a little clip in Google SketchUp where I can put them both in this clip, and they're only putting one clip in their pocket then, as opposed to
That's really clever.
Two packs and that kind of stuff. And I mean, I'm not brilliant in Google SketchUp. I can do boxy stuff. But, you know, it was dead easy to make two clips that these things slid into and then would go in as a single unit. Dead simple. And I bought it, and I've claimed it against tax because I'm making stuff for work with it. I'm making GoPro fittings and hoods and that kind of stuff regularly. Mm. There you go. Where can we get a hold of you, Chris?
You can always catch me on the SMR podcast. That's a simple mobile review podcast, smrpodcast.com. Just three guys, me and my two buddies, just talking smack. You know, you might catch us on there talking about your mom, your dad, or we might find some time to talk about tech as well. And of course, you can catch me on Twitter, Big Chris Ashley.
Excellent. Thank you. Jeffrey, where art thou?
I'm hanging out over at macobserver.com and on Gob's podcast, this being one of them every single week, and the iOS show, Mac Observer's Daily Observations, others I get around. I'm on Twitter. I'm Jake Amott. Same thing on Instagram. And Fresh Brewed Tales. I have a new story that I am writing up. I have to draw graphics because I couldn't get photos to go with it. So hopefully I'll have that done shortly too.
Excellent. Patrice, where are you?
As always, every week on the Mac Show here on the British Tech Network, on Twitter at casual_kitchen, and everything I do with links on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Righty boy.
All is on Twitter, mate, and sending you dodgy pictures of water in the Slack room.
You see, the thing is, it's like, I've had Ian Lewis about this in the past. He put a picture up of the sea. I'm like, how long's the sea been on the piss then? and he's like, what? And I'm like, you're a world-renowned quality photographer, mate. You should be doing far more than you're currently doing, and you don't put up a flat sea. The sea's been flat for some time now.
Yes.
So this week so we've got a photo show. If you want to join Slack, just send me an email to britishnetwork@gmail.com saying, little pig, let me in. And well done to the chap who did that this week and sent the exact title in, little pig, let me in. They've decided in the photo showroom, we have an assignment every month, and this week someone's picked water. And it's any pro photographer's OCD topic. Any water that's slightly on the piss, just slightly out, just not going to happen. Sorry, can't deal with that. May have to unsubscribe this month. Lee Peterson's already left the chat room. I don't know what I said to him, but he's gone. He's left the photo show because I was like, oh, your camper van's great, but your water's on the piss. So make sure you get your water level. And just to get me back, Muller Biker went out into the chat room, straight into the garden, and took a picture of some water in a bucket with some leaves in it, which was actually pretty good a bit, but it was undersaturated. So there we go. For now. Camps, where are you, mate?
I'm generally around the Big Show, occasionally on the Mac Show, Camping UK on Twitter, and loitering somewhere in the Slack room.
Excellent. Bronwyn's posted a 3D printing challenge for me. I'll have a look at that in a minute and see whether I'm going to take it up or not. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next Thursday night as normal. I'm in Brentwood during the day, so I might be late, but we'll see how we go.
There's Righty as well. Where's Righty?
We've done Righty. Because he said he was complaining about the sloping water in the chat room. Yeah. You want to pay attention to him, mate.
We'll do occasionally.
Don't have a stab at me. Your own ass in order, champion.
Souls.
See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Why did I hear you Righty then?
Well, it's just the way it is, isn't it? I mean, it's just like...